Merry Christmas. And Happy New Year. No, that's next week. So we'll do that next week. We're going to start off with reading scripture today. From the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 2, then 6 to 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. A poem by Christina Rossetti, Love Came Down at Christmas. Love came down at Christmas. Love, all lovely, love divine. Love was born at Christmas. Star and angels gave the sign. Worship we the Godhead, love incarnate, love divine. Worship our Jesus, but wherewith for sacred sign? Love shall be our token. Love be yours and love be mine. Love to God and all men. Love for plea and gift and sign. Amen and amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time gathered in your presence and this opportunity to wish you happy birthday. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your birth, for your presence in our lives and how that has changed us, challenged us, encouraged us, and shaped us. And Lord, we pray to you this day that we're able to surrender ourselves at the foot of your main manger, blessing you, praising you, worshiping you, giving you everything that we have, thanking you for your presence. Lord Jesus, happy birthday. We pray this in your name. Amen and amen. Today we light our candles. Now we light our final candle, and it's a pretty easily named candle, so we'll start at the beginning. So the first candle that we lit, let me get a hickey here. All right. So the first candle we lit is called the candle of... The choir's doing a very good job. I want to point that out. But I'm not preaching to the choir today. Well, I mean, you guys will hear it. Candle of? Yeah. I see the mouth. It's in the right shape. Hope. That's right. And then it's, got to get that lit. And then it's followed by the candle of? Peace, right? It's the second candle, so it's candle of peace. Which is followed by the third candle, which has a different color, and it's more excited than all the other ones. Joy. And then the last candle is the candle. I have no hints for this one. You just got to know it. Love, love, love. Oh, then you think about the Beatles. Four Beatles, last candle. Now you should think about Jesus instead. The last candle is quite easy, though. It's called the... Right, that's right, the Christ candle. And we light this in anticipation and celebration of our Lord Jesus Christ and his birthday. And Jesus, who nicely and wonderfully represents peace, hope, joy, and love. Now, one of the things that has really sat with me as I've gotten older... two things about Christmas. When I was a young kid, Christmas was always about traditions. Loved all the traditions, and I've shared with the ends for the past 10 years the traditions that we did over and over and over again. As I've gotten older, there's another word that has creeped into our Christmas celebration, you know, like the Advent and everything, and that word's not traditions, but that word is stress. As I'm getting older, it's been my job, not my parents' job, but my job now to make sure that everything's just right. Making sure that everything's, I mean, honestly, I don't make sure the cookies are baked because I don't do that. But, you know, I try to teach my kids what my family has taught me, what my kids taught me, that it's all about Jesus. But I tell you, there's a lot of things to get in the way of it. And I've learned this, that one of my biggest fears as I've gotten older, it's not anymore, but one of my biggest fears is that somehow I will ruin Christmas for my kids. And so you gotta make it right. You gotta make it good. But I threw that out the window. I don't care anymore. Because I realized something, I can't ruin Christmas. Because Christmas isn't about the cookies, which you can burn. It's not about the gifts, which you can get wrong. It's not about the family, who sometimes don't show up. It's not about the, I don't know, what else is it about? Oh, it's not about the decorations, you know, in case something goes up in the wrong place or gets lost the year before. It's not about these things. If it were about these things, yes, you can ruin Christmas. It is possible. But it's about Jesus. It's about that center candle, the Christ candle, who encompasses all the other candles. I'm going to say something sad, but it's not meant to be sad. When I was 9 years old, my grandfather died on December 15th. That was a very difficult Christmas. And my parents, when we sat down on Christmas morning, five o'clock in the morning. Remember, my grandfather just died 10 days prior to that. My dad said to me, do you have baby Jesus? Because that's my job. For years, baby Jesus in my sock drawer. I said, yes. He said, put it in the manger. So I did, put it in the manger. My youngest brother's job, he was to grab the Bible. So my dad said to my brother Caleb, go get the Bible. So he went and got it, and he brought it back, and he gave it to my dad, and my dad opened up the Bible. Remember, my grandfather died 10 days prior, and he read the Christmas story. And then after the Christmas story, my mom went out into the kitchen, and she got the birthday cake with 2,000 candles on it. We used to do that. We just do one candle anymore. And then the one candle, and we blew it out, and we sang happy birthday. And then after all that was done, then we sat around the tree, and we went from youngest to oldest, opening up our gifts. Nothing changed. My grandfather died 10 days prior. Christmas is about Jesus. My parents kept it about Jesus. It's about the peace, hope, love, and joy that we get from Jesus Christ. And though my grandfather died and we were sad, we remember that Christ was with us the entire time. That my grandfather now was with Jesus Christ, celebrating in a very intimate and very wonderful way. The Christmas can't be ruined if we focus on the right things. And these candles are a great reminder of what Christmas is about. It's about the peace of Jesus, the hope from Christ, the joy that Jesus gives us. And it's not always a really happy-go-lucky joy. It's a solid reminder that I can get through whatever it is. And it's about the love of Christ, a love that doesn't waver, and a love that is always present. And so I remember now, and I know that Christmas will always be about Jesus. And if we keep it there, I'll get my kids the wrong gifts. I'm so excited for this gift that I bought Stephanie. But if she don't like it, Christmas won't be ruined. We'll just go get her another one. Because it's about Jesus. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. This is a new one, so I didn't quite recognize it right away. He did not wait till the world was ready, till men and nations were at peace. He came when the heavens were unsteady and prisoners cried out for release. He did not wait for the perfect time. He came when the need was deep and great. He dined with sinners in all their grime, turned water into wine. He did not wait. Till hearts were pure in joy, he came to a tarnished world of sin and doubt. To a world like ours of anguish, shame, he came, and his light would not go out. He came to a world which did not mesh, to heal its tangles, shield its scorn. In the mystery of the world made flesh, the maker of the stars was born. We cannot wait till the world is sane, to raise our songs with joyful voice, for to share our grief, to touch our pain. He came with love. Rejoice, rejoice. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that as we are, we come. We come to you, bearing all those burdens that we bring with us, not keeping them at home for us to pick up when we go back. But Lord, as we are, so we come to you. And we thank you, Lord, that you desire us to, that you hope for us to come to you as we are, that you may love us as we are, that you may mold us so that we can be servants of you, even more so than we are now. Lord, there are many things that are a burden to us, many things that weigh heavy upon our hearts and minds. And Lord, we take a few moments of silence to pray silently to you and give those things that are upon our hearts. Lord God, we thank you that you hear us. We pray that our hearts are open to hear you speaking your love, your directions into our lives. Wherever they lead, may we follow. And whatever is going on, Lord, in our lives, however heavy the burden, may we be built upon the foundation of your Son's hope, joy, love and peace, that we may bear up under any weight and give you all the glory of our lives. Lord, we pray all this in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our scripture today is found in the book of Luke, and it's very familiar to many of us. It's from Luke chapter 2, verse 1 to 20. Hear now God's word. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I've said this and say it again. I love Christmas. I always loved Christmas and always loved leading Christmas worship, the Christmas Eve worship service. But I will say it is a challenge at times. I've been serving God in this capacity for a little over 20 years now. And so, which means I've done 20 different Christmas Eve sermons on Luke chapter 2, verse 1 to 20. There's only so many sermons in here. You start pulling things that you know you're not sure of. It's not true. I did once preach on another text, but nobody liked it. And they told me the next day, they said, "Never preach on anything but Luke chapter 2, verse 1 to 20. So I said, okay. But as I was doing it and reading, I'm sure I've done a sermon similar to this before, but it was more personal this time as I was thinking about it. When I was just entering school, like we're talking kindergarten, first grade, I'm the oldest of my family, and my mom started keeping things from school. My school picture, you know, the class picture, my report cards, little projects that I've done. And she kept collecting these all the way through my whole school time. So from kindergarten to a senior in high school. My mom kept all of my report cards. She kept all the pictures. She kept news clippings. I was in the band from 5th grade to 11th grade. And when I hit, after 11th grade, I wanted to quit the band. I played trombone, which isn't, I don't know, it's an okay instrument, but I was just ready to stop. And my mom told me I had to do something. I can't just quit and do nothing. So I joined the football team. Joined the football team. And I'll give you, I played. I was a starter. Yeah, can you guess what position? Look at me. Kicker. I was a kicker. I was terrible, but the team was terrible, so we all fit in. I think we won one game that season. And my mom kept news clippings of that, you know, like they lost again, or whatever the news clipping said. I don't know what it said. She kept my letters, my ring. She, when I was in elementary school in Port View, she kept poems that I copied but illustrated on top, and all of this stuff. And then when I moved out of the house, she gave me the box. And the box was about this big and this wide and had everything in it. And I sat down one day, not that long ago, actually, it's probably been a couple years, sat down one day and I went through that box again. All that stuff. And to me, it was just like, you know, this is cool. And I noticed my handwriting didn't progress from like third grade on, but it was really neat to see what my mother treasured. And not only did she treasure it just for herself, but she treasured it for me, that one day I can treasure it also. And she didn't do that just for me. All four of us got a box. And it was one of the best gifts that I got. And when I read our scripture today, it reminds me of the strength of a mother's heart. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. She realized that she's the mother of Jesus, who's the Son of God, and that the responsibility that falls upon her is quite big. And she probably doesn't quite understand exactly what's going on or exactly what's going to happen. And then the shepherds show up and said that angels went and saw them. So that angels proclaimed to them that there was a child here, and no one would know there was a child here, especially in a manger. And after the shepherds were there and they left, Mary was so taken by what had happened that she keeps this little box in her heart and in her memory. So she can always ponder the moments that happened at that time. It always struck me, there's a scripture later about Mary pondering this, treasuring it in her heart and keeping it, and it happens a chapter later. She looks at Jesus' life and what Christ might be, and in order to remember these moments, she stores up these treasures in her own heart. Now, the act of storing up treasures is nothing new. Everyone here does it. And do you know what the best recorder of storing up treasure is that exists in this world? I mean, like the best memory. Like, there is something out there that knows what you store up in your heart. Do you know what that is? It's the Facebook algorithm. It's the Instagram algorithm. It's the TikTok algorithm. It's the internet algorithm. If you get online and there's things that you keep going back to over and over and over again, these are things you're storing up in your own heart. These are the things that are important to you. These are the things that you keep going back to again and again and again. When you're happy, when you're sad, when you're just bored, or when you're busy, but you don't want to work just quite yet. If we would look at Mary's algorithm, I think we would find things about her son. We would find the things that stood out in her life about him. We would find the moment when Jesus was at a wedding and they ran out of wine, and Mary said, "Hey, Jesus, come over here. It's your turn." Jesus saying, no, it's not my time. Mary, like a good mother, doesn't listen to her son and does it anyway, because these things she was passionate about. His life, his achievements, the way that he lived, these are the things she was passionate about. I got to see a little bit of my mother's algorithm in that box that she sent me. The things that she treasured up for herself were the things that she was passionate about in my own life. The box was only this big and this wide for 12 years of my life. I've done more things than this and this. But the things that she found most special, she kept. Her algorithm for me to see of how she was proud of me, how she loved me, what she thought was important. Preparing for the Christmas season shows us our algorithm. It shows us what's really important to us, where we put our energies, where we put our time, where we put our focus, where we put our creativity. That's part of our algorithm. And as our scripture shows us and tells us, and what Mary did, that there's only one thing that is of the greatest importance during Christmas, and that's the birth of Jesus Christ. And there's nothing else. But we look at our algorithm, we scroll it, we put a lot of time in a lot of different things. And that's okay. It's part of who we are. But I pray that as we get closer and closer to Christmas, which is now only 5 hours away or less, that our hearts and our minds turn over to Christ and what God has blessed us and how God has blessed us through his own Son, who with the Word created all of these things that we see, who ordered chaos, who wanted for nothing, came as a child, baby, who wants for everything. Christ gave that up for us because Christ loves us. We have hope, peace, joy, and love through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that that's what we remember today, tomorrow, and beyond. I'm going to close with the final benediction today. Let us go from this place proclaiming that we have seen the glory of God, believing that there is a light that shines in the darkness, which the darkness shall not overcome. And may the love of the Creator, the joy of the Spirit, and the peace of the Christ child be with you this Christmas and evermore. And all of God's people said, and because it's Christmas, all of God's people say, Merry Christmas, everybody. Have a wonderful, wonderful night.